GE, if I was falling with Gene Clarkham and Luke Clark scaling a shock on the shoulder, meet Tom Comack with you as usual on a Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And as always at this time, as we say, hope you can stay with us because we've got a very special guest for you to meet tonight. That's former Donegal All-Ireland winner from 1992, Donal Reid, of course, who published his new autobiography and had its launch last week in the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. Well, Donal, first of all, delighted to have you on the GAA programme. As we said, an All-Ireland winner, an Ulster Championship winner, a footballer, a hurler, an athlete. And I know you've been writing a column for the Democrat, but now you're an author and delighted to have you.
Thanks very much, Tom. A lot of work going into this this writing, but I enjoy writing. I suppose it's therapeutic, but I suppose I wrote the book for many reasons.
Yeah, and what was the instigation of it, or what was behind it?
Well, I suppose my wife and my daughters told me that there was a story to tell, because I wasn't at home very often when I was training for my club and for Donegal. I missed the children growing up, and nowadays they ask me what I did at night and what type of training we did. In comparison to what they're doing now, the modern footballers. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to leave a legacy for the girls. And there's a story there. As I say, everyone has a story, but I think mine's maybe a wee bit different.
Yeah, because, you know, this story isn't just about Donal Reid, the Gaelic footballer. I know it's the confessions of a Gaelic footballer, but it's maybe not so many confessions about what happened on the football field. It's the confessions that maybe happened in life, maybe as a result of playing football.
That's right. People see Gaelic footballers, inter-county footballers, as they're called now, elite athletes, just on the football field or on the running track, and they don't see the life they have to lead outside of their sport. But footballers have a life to live too, although the time is very short. You have your family. You need a good employer who will see that, well, I'm representing the country, and will you give time off? So there's a lot of other things there that I suppose that people don't know. As I say, people don't really know the player.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that struck me. I've read the book, you know, and one of the things that struck me when I left it down was, you know, or even before I had finished reading was, you know, I don't know Donal Reid at all. Now, I knew Donal Reid, the footballer, and I followed him for years, from ever since he beat Roscommon in the under-21 All-Ireland final down in Carrick and Shannon. But I followed you. But I don't know you. And really, I suppose, when I think about it, how could I know you?
Well, that's true. I mean, I hope you know me now, Tom.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, when people go into a football match, and I go to very few games now, but the games I do go into see, and I hear people giving out about players, and, you know, it can be hurtful, but I suppose you pay your money, you pay your entrance fee, and I suppose it gives you license to call into players. But these fellas are amateur players, as I was, and we put an awful lot of time and effort and sacrifice, and we're very disciplined into our game. I mean, no player goes out to have a bad game. But listen, modern day footballers, and I suppose in the past, we take the abuse, and that's just the way the sport is. But sometimes I'd like people to think and sit back and listen. These fellas have a life too, and when you read my book, you'll see what I went through on my journey in 1992, sorry, and in 2012, and compare the two setups and see how different they are.
Obviously, there's quite a lot about your life, your work, your family in the book, about maybe illnesses that you've had and you know, fights with rows with your demons and stuff. Obviously, it's a GAA program. We'll concentrate on your GAA for a moment, but one of the things you said, Donegal won an All-Ireland under 21 in 1982. It was the first ever All-Ireland. And you said, it changed my life.
Yes. Well, overnight we became sort of superstars.
Because you were the first team ever to win from.
That is right. And I don't like using the word superstars, but people do put you on a pedestal. But from a football viewpoint, it gave us confidence. And shortly afterwards, I went into the senior setup under Brian McAniff. And I genuinely thought, because in 1983 we won a senior Ulster Championship, and I thought this was the way it was going to be. But unfortunately, we had a lot of barren years until, I suppose, we got back into an Ulster final in 1989, I think it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy. There were a lot of, I suppose the team was going under a bit of change then. But it changed my perspective and the way I trained and my attitude to the game.
Yeah, and it changed the way people looked at you as well.
Of course. Well, I was in the hotel business there for a while, and I suppose when I worked with Brian, I was Brian's pet, I suppose, and he introduced me to people and said, "This is Donald Reid, this man won an All-Ireland for Donegal," and I suppose got Brian out of many of an awkward situation, but I had work to do. Brian forgot that, and he left me standing with these people, but I had work to do.
So obviously, and as we said, you work with Brian, but the other thing that struck me about reading the book, you're a very dedicated person, very committed person, and Donal Reid, the good footballer and the star defender, half forward, midfielder, you played in all those positions, you know, just didn't happen. It wasn't natural talent. You put in an awful lot of work.
I put an awful lot of work in, and I would put that down to my early days in the Finn Valley, first of all in the Lifford Athletic Club and then in the Finn Valley Athletic Club with Ben O'Donnell and Patsy McGonigal, respectively. Patsy put me through an awful hard time in the athletics. I knew I was talented, but Patsy fine-tuned it, and when I went into county training then with the minor Donegal team, I found training so easy, and I found my under 21 training easy, and I found the senior training easy in comparison to what I went through as a young lad in the athletic forum.
Because you do mention in the book as well that, you know, GA players don't understand, you know, they think they're fit compared to what athletes do and the work athletes do.
That's right. I actually tell a story in the book about the under 21 team. When I managed the under 21 team in 1995, Dunlop McNeillis was the trainer. And some nights I would have, Dunlop, who was a great trainer, a wee bit quiet with the lads, I always thought, but exceptional coach. But an odd night I would take the training, and the guys dreaded this training because I mean, I suppose I train them much tougher, and I suppose I would put out four cones and run them fairly hard. But one night they complained about the training, said it was too tough, that I was too tough on them. So I took a night off and watched them train a group of under 16s that Patter McGranahan of Finn Valley was training. So we watched them for an hour and a half or so, and when they saw what those guys were doing at under 16 level, there's very few complaints from my players after that.
Obviously, that stood to you. Talk to me then about, you know, 1992, obviously. Like, if 82 was a landmark year and a landmark result for Donegal football, 1992 was way up the scales again.
That was indeed. It wasn't, as I say, it wasn't until Donegal won their second under 21 title under PG McGowan that things started to happen in the early 90s and, I suppose, the late 80s. When the two teams kind of gelled and the lads matured, the 1987 under 21 team matured, that's when the jigsaw, as I say in the book, it was complete. Now, in 1991, I almost pulled out, and again, this is in the book where I say that Martin McHugh and I and Josh Mung, I think Anthony Malloy, we sat in the dressing room.
And that was after losing to Down in the final.
That was after losing to Down in the final, yeah. And I suppose I was fed up at that stage. I had two young daughters, and I had put in so much, and still there was nothing at the end of it. Although I was happy, I had three Ulster titles at an All-Ireland. I had two Ulster titles, senior titles at an All-Ireland under 21 title.
More than most Donegal footballers.
Of course, but we felt that we were good enough to win an All-Ireland title. If we'd won an All-Ireland under 21 title, why couldn't we not go on and win a senior title? So Martin McHugh said, he says, "Reid, what are you going to do?" I says, "Well, I'm thinking about packing it in, Martin." He says, "Let's give it one more go," which we did.
Yeah, so, and 92 came along and obviously won it then, and that had to be the highlight.
That was definitely a highlight. Although my memories of after, when the final whistle went, because from start to finish, it was just a cauldron of noise, and we couldn't hear each other in the pitch, couldn't even hear the whistle, and it just floated past. And I suppose it was only in the weeks and the months later that we really appreciated what we had achieved.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've already spoken about it, Harry John Sean Doherty. strange incident or strange happenings on the Sunday night after the All-Ireland. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about it, because you don't remember much of the celebrations on that night.
No, well, I wasn't actually part of the celebrations. Coming in from Croke Park out to the Grand Hotel in Malahide, the bus was crammed with people. I don't know where all the people came out of, but we could hardly breathe. But when I felt actually ill, I felt sick, so I just got off the bus, and I told Maura that I was going for a walk. I'll be back in 10 minutes, but I was away for a lot longer than that. I actually felt nauseous, so I went for a walk along the promenade in Malahide, and I was sitting on a bench with my head between my knees, and two old ladies came along and asked me, "Are you all right, love?" And I says, "No, I wasn't. I felt a bit ill." So they asked me, would I come in for a cup of tea into their house? I said I would. So we went into the house and sat down, and they put on the kettle. And
they didn't deck who you were?
No, even though I had the green blazer on me and shirt and tie and the Donegal crest, they didn't pass any remarks. They asked me, was in Dublin on business? And I says I was in business, but a business that they probably didn't know anything about. So I could see the show on TV that's normally transmitted in RTE. And
yeah.
I could see my players, my co-players, and I could see my wife on TV. And I was looking at this, even though I was ill. And next thing, the husband of one of the ladies came in. He recognised the Donegal crest and the jacket and asked me. He said that Donegal were playing in the All-Ireland final today. And I said, yes, they were. And he asked me, was I at it? I said, I was playing. And he said, oh, he says, I'm going to, he says, this is great to have you here. You know, he says, are you okay? I said, no, I'm quite ill. So we talked a bit about the match, although I wasn't fit to talk about the match, but he offered to leave me in, which he did, left me back into the hotel.
Right. And that was it. And you didn't join the celebrations then either?
No, I didn't. Actually, I looked for our doctor. We looked for Dr. Austin O'Kennedy, and had a talk. Dr. Austin examined me and sent me off to bed. But listen, Tom, I made it up for it, believe me.
Yeah, you were probably the only Donegal man with a clear head on the Monday morning or the Sunday morning. Monday morning,
yeah. I got up for breakfast, clear head, had my breakfast, and there was actually still some of the players were still up, and I felt great.
Yeah, and nobody missed you. Obviously, Maura did, but of course, there was no mobiles that time or anything as well.
No, sure, it was pandemonium. Nobody missed anyone. I suppose spirits were that high. Mm. Nobody passed any remarks whatsoever. But the hotel was jammed. You couldn't actually meet anyone. Yeah. It was chaos.
Yeah. So, obviously, but as you said, and obviously there was great celebrations then, wasn't there?
No. Well, they say we celebrated for a year, but it was about 6 months, but we never lost a league game. Now, we didn't lose a league game that campaign, the following season's league campaign. Mm. We played Dublin in a replay in the league final, which was our only defeat.
In that time. Yeah. Obviously, they avenged the All-Ireland, because they had gone into the All-Ireland very much the favourites, hadn't they?
They did indeed, and I suppose they even had they had memorabilia printed and all for their celebrations, but We were very calculated. We were probably the only people in Donegal who had the confidence that we could beat Dublin. But we kept it quiet. We're confident within ourselves and with the team.
And thought we guess of Leshan Clarkham and Luke Laskey and Leshachtan, Leshola, me, Tom Comack, and my special guest tonight is double All Ireland winner with Donegal, athlete of all. Of all renown, and of course a hurler as well, and now a physical therapist, and of course a columnist with the Donegal Democrat, but also an author. I'm here discussing with Donald Reid his new book, Confessions of a Gaelic Footballer. Donald, talk to me about, you mentioned Brian McInniff. You worked under Brian, you worked under Tom Conaghan. They were probably the two main managers you worked under.
That's right. Two different type of personalities, where Tom was how would we say, he was quite tough, he was a disciplinarian. Brian, on the other hand, was more a players man, and he kind of looked at all the aspects of the player's life. You know, he'd ring you up and see how you're keeping, and he'd ring you up constantly before a game, and he was doing his psychology a bit with you and getting your head right for the game. But two different two different brands of manager. And when I went to manage from the club level and then, you know, with the under 21s in 1995, I kind of learned. I learned a lot from the two men. And the two men, you know, Tom wasn't there in 92. Obviously, Brian was the man. But we can't forget Tom's input, you know, which is massive. And people shouldn't forget that. You know, Tom put a lot of us in our place. You know, as Tom used to say, we're burning the candle on both ends. And he used to tell us to get off the merry-go-round. It's some great sayings. But we never forget Tom for his disciplinary ways. You know, we were afraid of Tom. And we weren't afraid of Brian, you know, just two different types of manager.
Mm-hmm. And would it be fair to assume you were more Tom Conaghan than Brian McAniff yourself when you became a manager?
I would say so. I would say I was more like Tom. Well, Brian would have great patience. I didn't have great patience, but Brian McAniff would have great patience. And Tom, I suppose, also came from an athletics background. I met Tom first way back many, many, many years ago when I was a child. Tom was involved with Donegal Town in athletics, I think along with Eamon Harvey. And I met Tom long ago, and I came across Tom's wrath, I suppose, at that age too.
You mentioned athletics, you know, was Eamon's strong point, and it was probably, I think you said in your book, your favourite sport as well. Why did you choose the path of Gaelic football?
Well, basically, it was an easier option, and I know that's a terrible thing to say, but because people probably would say, well, you trained hard, we did train hard, but it was nowhere as demanding that athletics would have been, because I was also competing at national level for Finn Valley Athletic Club, but I wanted to compete more at the international level. Now, we didn't have the facilities, and it was nobody's fault, it was no club's fault, it's just the government didn't. I suppose they saw athletics as a minority sport and the funding wasn't there, and they saw that athletes had to go maybe to American scholarships to progress their careers. So I wasn't prepared to do that. I just said, well, I'm going to take the easier option, which I did. I mean, I don't have any regrets, but I would have liked to pursue an athletic career, but it wasn't for me. I have no regrets.
Mm. You did pursue athletics again in the Masters when you finished playing football, didn't you? And you had some good success.
That's right. I suppose I was looking for a wee bit more, I went back into athletics as soon as I retired from football. I just went back up to athletic club amongst old friends. Some people that I knew when I was there as a youth hadn't left and they're still there. Hmm. And back into the Masters because it was a competitive scenario and I needed to compete, and I just couldn't go up and just do laps and laps and go to the gym. I needed to compete, and thank God for the Masters, because it gave me that competitive edge again.
Mm. And as you said, compete and competitor, and that's the one theme that comes through the book big time. Mm. Very competitive, very competitive. We said put in serious work into your preparations and into your training. And I suppose the other thing that I did take from the book, I says his wife Maura must be a very tolerant woman.
Well, any woman that would come up with me now, she deserves a medal, but I've told Maura several times how thankful and grateful to
him. Because there was one incident, I think, where your eldest daughter was born, and on the evening that she came home from hospital, you collected her and Maura at the hospital, took her home, left her with Maura and went off training.
That's true. She hasn't forgiven me for that. But anyway, when her second daughter was born, she made sure that I stayed in the house that night. I know it's a terrible thing to say, but that's the way, that was Tom's way. Tom said...
It was Tom Conaghan.
Yeah. When Tom was managing the team, I mean, you didn't miss reason, and no, there was missed training for any reason. And bar death, and these are Tom's words, bar death, be it training. Now, he said nothing about births, but I came home from the hospital, Maura didn't know I was training. I didn't want to say to her, I knew she'd be upset. I left the carry cut on the couch. I had my Donegal gear on me. She says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to train. And I just closed the door. Ouch. So she never forgave me for that.
Yeah, understandably too. And nowadays, in fairness, I don't think you would be asked to do it, or our young men nowadays don't do it. But you were of a time too, weren't you?
Well, I mean, I was competing, yes. It was off an area then, and I suppose I didn't want to, you know. I mean, Tom Conaghan, if you missed training, you probably wouldn't have been playing the following Sunday, and that's the way it was. I didn't want to lose my place. Mm. And I couldn't see, nowadays I see life differently. I couldn't see beyond training. I couldn't see beyond football, and put my life, my family second to football. I know that was wrong, but modern day football now is different, where players are given time for their families and stuff. We weren't, you know, it was flat out.
Tato Gesta, that's in Clark, coming Luke Glasgow, and a shock than a shoulder meet, Tom Comick, and my special guest tonight is Donal Reid. We're coming near the end now, and I still have quite a lot to talk to you about. Talk to me about 1993, Donal, because Donegal were the reigning All Ireland champions and were favourites to win Ulster again, and probably give a were certainly good enough to win back to back All Irelands, but a lot of things went against you.
Well, yeah. Well, we were. I think the team was tired. We had a tough year after we won the Ireland. Between 92 and 93, we had a tough year with a few injuries. I got an injury myself at a broken shoulder blade. We didn't actually know that. It took a long time to get that diagnosis. We got to the Ulster final. It was a terrible day, as people.
No.
Who remember?
You weren't playing, were you? No.
No, I wasn't playing.
Tony Boyle wasn't.
No, with a few injuries that day. But given, I mean, people give out about the weather that day. But I think if we had a full complement of players, I think would have beaten Derry. And Derry went on to win the All Ireland that year, because we knew we were good enough again. We were good enough to win back to back titles, and that's a terrible pity, because that team was unique, and. You see how long it was before we could get the All-Ireland title back again. But it was a tough year and a lot of decisions. I took a very heavy knock against Armagh in the semi-final, I think it was, in the first game. Then we had a replay against Armagh. I didn't play in that replay nor the Derry game, and that was it. I think I may have come back for a league game maybe the following year.
Yeah, you played on the following year, didn't you?
I did play on for a while the following year, but injuries got the better of me, and my time was up, and that was it. I suppose I pulled out when I was fairly fit. I know I had a few injuries, but again, I suppose I know looking back, I was annoyed at the time.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say, and I must confess that I was part of the management team as well. That maybe called time on your time. You know, you mentioned that in the book, that you did annoy it at the time, because Peachy McGowan did come down and spoke to you and told you it was over.
That's right. That's right. And I suppose at the time, I thought because I'd given so much of my life to Donegal, that decision should have been left to me whenever. I always thought at the time, even though I may have not deserved a place on the team, that I may have been good for the squad. But PG made the call, and I respect PG for that. I was annoyed at the time. But it was a blessing.
Because you did say later in the book that it was a blessing in disguise.
Of course, blessing in disguise, and I have to thank PG for that. And, you know, I hold no grudges against anybody who's involved, nor PG. And, I mean, that's life, and that's the way it goes on. And I see players now, and they're hanging on a bit too long, and managers maybe don't have the courage or don't want to tell. I mean, PG McGowan had courage to let me go at the time, and I'm very thankful for that.
And you went into management and had a successful run in management, hadn't you, with the Running Gold on the 3-1s? You had gone for the job at the time that PG went to America.
That's right. Well, we weren't going to get the job, myself from McHugh, we knew that. But I suppose we were marking our cards for the future. And then I went for the under-21 job, which was more appropriate for someone who was just finishing their career. I couldn't have managed the team at the time. I really was marking my card. I wanted to go through the process, the interviewing process, to see what it was like and what I needed to do in case I wanted to go for the job in future. But yes, I immensely enjoyed the under-21 experience. I had a good few men, good men with me, and Seamus O'Reilly, and as I say, Donald McNeillis and Mick McGrath, which were great. We had a great time with the lads, and we were very successful.
We won Ulster, yeah.
We won an Ulster title.
Beat Cavan, managed by Martin McHugh in the final.
That's right, give it an added edge to it. But Martin got his own back the following year with Cavan. Cavan beat us in the final.
Yeah. Look, we're coming near the end, Donal, and there's so much more to talk about. Won two London and two British championships, I think, with Tara Gales in London.
That's right. Well, a lot of people probably wouldn't know that, but it was a tough old championships then. And I think there's a long time span between winning the two championships. I was the only person from the first team that played on the second team. So it just shows you how long that was. But it was nice to win. I'd love to have won a county championship with my own club, Red.
You came close.
Come close. We're beaten two finals. In
by two, probably the best teams, forgive me for pushing you, Eirua, Ballyshannon and Killy Beggs, wasn't that right?
That's right. We're very unfortunate. We were well beaten by Eirua and Ballyshannon, but I felt we could have won. We could have won against Killy Beggs.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you do say you were lucky that Jim McGuinness invited you back and you got to witness 2012 and be all part of that again, albeit in a professional capacity.
Yes. Jim rang me over Christmas period at no hesitation in saying yes. I was delighted to be involved, to see how things had changed. I was shocked, amazed, intrigued, astonished. I can't use the words to see how professional the game has become. The amount of time that lads put in, the amount of sacrifice now compared to our time.
Are they back up near where the athletes are now, are they?
That's right, that's right. Very professional. They're different, even a different shape of player than we were. You know, they're very lean. They mightn't be as big or bulky as we were, but they're built for pace and built for running. And we were built more for football. And, I mean, the technical skills, it's like two different games. And you can't compare the two teams either. It's not, it's to be unfair to either team to compare them.
You mentioned great characters as well in the book. Martin Griffin keeps cropping up, you know, Marty Carlin, a good close friend of yours, all that. That's all in the book as well. We're coming to the end, Donal. Tell me, obviously, the profits from the book are going to pay you a house. That's important to you.
That's important. Because when you read the book, you'll see why I chose Pieta House. I'm not in this. I didn't become an author to gain any financial gain. Any monies raised from proceeds of the book are going directly to Pieta House. And I think you need to read the book to understand why I chose Pieta House.
Yeah, and again, you had the launch on Saturday night. Huge crowd in Scorpio's nightclub in the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. I'm sure brought back memories because the Abbey Hotel was the headquarters, especially for the team of 92 and that area and still as well. But I'm sure very pleasing to see such a large turnout of your old colleagues, club mates, county mates, even players like Joe Brawley and Pascal McConnell from other counties.
Well, I could only liken it to a living wake. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it was like a living wake. And if my wake's like that, I would be glad of it. But yes, I was shocked at the numbers. To be honest, overwhelmed, very humbled by the response. It was great. And to people I didn't get around to talk to, my apologies. But I hope you understand. It was a busy night. But it was a great night. We had a great, great, great night. Myself, Maura, and my two girls, Donald and Roisin. And I want to thank everyone for turning up on the night and to pass the word around. As I say, the book, it's reader-friendly. It's not big. I hope it's a page-turner. And there's a good match in the book.
And tell me, finally, where can we get it?
Well, you can get it from me, but you can get it. Anyway, it's in all of the Super Value outlets. It's in the Four Masters Bookshop in Donegal Town. It's at the Book Centre in Balbuffet. It's in the Dry Arts Complex in Letterkenny, Michael Murphy Sports, and Easton's in Letterkenny. And it should be in every small rural village and town by the end of the week. But if you have any problem, you know, even to ring the Donegal Democrat office in Donegal Town and Letterkenny also have the books. So if you have any problem getting the books, either contact me, Tom will give you my number after the show, and or you can contact anyone in the Donegal Democrat office.
Look, O'Donnell, thanks a million. I really enjoyed talking to you, and I really enjoyed the book as well.
Thanks, Tom. Pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's all from the GA programme for another week. My thanks to Jimmy Stafford on sound, and also my thanks to my special guest tonight, Donal Reid. Remember, that book is The Confessions of a Gaelic Footballer, a very good read in all your local shops, so keep an eye out for it. From me, Tom Comeck, on GA Stockton's Huggins, Donegal Bannock.